You hear me okay? Oh, there we go. Suddenly the volume boosts. Good morning. It's lovely to be with you this morning. Today we're continuing our series that we've been covering for the last few weeks, Count Me In, where we're looking at the church as the body of Christ, made up of individuals, each playing our part. So for the last 2 weeks, David Gooding has been preaching, looking at the different giftings that shape where we serve in the church. He's looked at the motivational giftings, what drives us, what we're passionate about, and he's looked at ministry giftings, how everybody has a role to play in the healthy functioning of the body. And today I'm looking at the third M, this being obviously a Christian sermon series, so it's very important that all of the series start with the same letter. So today I'm going to look at the third M, the manifestational gifts, gifts of the Spirit, charismatic gifts, lots of different ways that you might have heard this talked about, that are listed there in that second passage that we looked at in 1 Corinthians 12. So we'll start there. If I could have the next slide, please. Thank you very much. Let's start here. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So we've looked at character giftings, who we are as people. And we've looked at the roles we might play, the offices we might serve in based on natural talents or calling, or even simply just need, seeing a need and filling it. Manifestation gifts, however, come not from ourselves, but from the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this is why so many people prefer to refer to the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 as a single gift. The gift is the Holy Spirit. And he makes his presence felt in a believer's life in a myriad of different ways. So we see here, the Spirit of God manifests and becomes visible in every believer for the common good. We go to the next slide, please. Thank you. To one is given the Spirit, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the discernment of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by the one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. So we see here that the Holy Spirit manifests, makes himself visible in a believer's life in different ways and at different times. And it is the Spirit who chooses. So whilst we might develop a natural ability at something, we can learn to drive a car, we can practice drawing, we could learn a language, we cannot decide, for example, get up one morning and say, I really like to prophesy today, or I think today I'm going to perform a miracle. These things come from the Holy Spirit, which is not to say that I don't think having a desire or a willingness to move in these gifts and indeed practicing them isn't important, and I'll come on to that. But the manifestation gifts are not us choosing to use a talent or an ability. They are markers on our lives of the presence of the living God with us. They are the Spirit of God working through us. And as such, they are about surrendering to God's agenda, rather than driving it ourselves. So, why do we need these manifestation gifts in the church today? Well, in the book of Acts, if we go to the next slide, please. Thank you very much. We see there that the last words of Jesus to the disciples, in that he instructed his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. Wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And he describes that baptism as receiving the power to become witnesses. So we see here the emphasis that is placed on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church. Before acting on any of Jesus' teachings, his disciples were to wait for the empowering presence of the Spirit. It would be that which would make them effective witnesses. We commonly call the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles. I think, a better title. Maybe I should suggest it to a publisher, I don't know. Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the book of Acts as a narrative of the early church is filled from beginning to end with the manifestation of the Spirit working through and energizing the early believers. We see again and again and again in the book of Acts verses where people believe because of the signs and wonders that were done by the early disciples, these manifestation gifts which confirmed the words that were being spoken. And similarly, as the church comes under persecution in its early years, believers are encouraged and strengthened by the manifestation of the Spirit. It confirms to them that despite what they're experiencing, God is with them. And Acts also tells us that the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy regarding the promise of God. In Acts 2, when Peter is explaining to the crowds what these manifestations are, he says, "This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." And later he references Ezekiel 36, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." Now, I think this is quite important. As Protestants, we tend to put an emphasis, quite rightly, on Christ's death and resurrection. It's the basis of our faith, by faith alone. The danger with that is that we stay at the cross, that we view Christ's atonement for our sin as the end of the story. My sins are forgiven. Through Christ, I'm assured eternal salvation. One day, I'll be in heaven with God, and in the meantime, I'm living in a flawed world, just trying to do my best with what's been given to me. But that isn't the whole story. When Christ died on the cross, we're told, the heavy curtain in the temple in Jerusalem that divided the people from the most holy place, the place where the presence of God dwelt, was torn in two. The division was brought down. In that moment, there was no longer anything keeping God's people away from fully experiencing his presence. So the promise that was so important that Jesus told his disciples to wait and pray for it was the living presence of God, the Holy Spirit, coming to reside in every believer. That is the fulfillment of the journey of the cross. So what do we learn from this for the church today? Firstly, that the Holy Spirit is essential to the work of the church. And secondly, that every believer has been given the invitation to experience the manifestation of the Spirit in their life. For example, if we look at Acts 6, the story of Stephen, if we have the next slide, please. Thank you very much. Stephen's a fantastic example of how the manifestation of the Holy Spirit can transform the ordinary into the extraordinary. We were very, very keen on Stephen when I worked in the church office many years ago, because Stephen's basically an administrator. He's one of the seven administrators appointed by the early church to organize the distribution of food and resources among believers and ensure fairness and justice and good management. He's basically in resource management. He's not an apostle. He's not out there preaching and doing that kind of public work. And yet we're told that he was full of grace, and the word is charis, the root of charismatic, the active manifestation working grace. And through power, he did great wonders and signs among the people and spoke with tremendous wisdom and authority, manifesting those spiritual gifts in his proclamation of the gospel and convincing many. Confirms for us those verses in 1 Corinthians 12 where we started. God shows no partiality in who he chooses to use. We don't have to be a particularly spiritual person or in a sort of recognized public ministry. The Holy Spirit is available and wants to work through every believer, whatever our walk of life, whatever we're doing in life. And whatever your role in the church, whatever you pick out of the Count Me In booklet to get involved in, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you in that role. So, if we take the next slide, please. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us a list of ways the Spirit manifests. I don't think we should take that list as definitive, but rather view it as general headings, shall we say, types of ways that the Holy Spirit works through believers. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, A, because it would be quite boring, and B, because there's obviously massive controversy in church history about the meanings of some of these different words. But Alistair has given me three headings. Unlike David Gooding, I am not going to claim Alistair's ideas for my own today. This is Alistair's. And you notice we're shifting from M's to P's. So we've divided up the gifts of the Spirit that are listed there in 1 Corinthians 12 into these three headings, and I'm just going to run through them briefly. So firstly, gifts of perception, wisdom, knowledge, discernment. Knowing things or sensing things that it's beyond our earthly capacity, our rational ability to know. And I actually think these are probably the most commonly experienced manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I suspect that quite a lot of us manifest the Spirit in this way without necessarily even being aware that we're doing so. That little gut feeling that you have about something or somebody. Oh, that person, I just feel that they really need some encouragement today. Or when you're praying for someone, you get a picture or a Bible verse. These are all ways in which gifts of perception manifest. Some kind of insight, revelation, or direction for a person you're praying for, how you should be praying for them. I think these are gifts as well. When I said it's good to practice, I think these are exactly the kind of gifts that we can be practicing in a safe way. You know, in a small group, in a prayer triplet, joining the prayer ministry team in the churches, or joining an alpha prayer ministry team as well. And I think these gifts do require a level of practice because they require from us a level of boldness. It can actually take quite a lot of confidence to step out and say, I kind of feel like maybe what God is saying this morning is X. And the more that we spend time with people who are safe and pray with them and explore these gifts, the more confident we can become that we know that, yep, that's God, maybe that's not. I had an experience many years ago which required considerable boldness and courage on my part. I was leading a small alpha course meeting, and I was praying for a couple, and I had an incredibly strong impression of an image of the couple with two small children. At which point I said, that is definitely not God. That is absolutely not the kind of thing he would give me to do, because that is so dangerous, speaking to a couple and almost prophesying children. That is not the sort of mess that you want to get into, because if you get that wrong, you can really, really hurt someone. So I very firmly said quietly to God, I'm not saying that. Let's move on. Keep praying for this couple. Back comes the picture. Strong impression that I needed to say this. Second time I said, I really don't think that's a good idea, God, because if I get this wrong, this could cause a lot of hurt. Third time, this sense welling up in me, you really, really need to say this. So cautiously I said, I have a picture, but it could just be me, but I'm going to share it with you, of two small boys, and there were some other things that attached to this. And I gave them this word, and they said, oh, thank you very much. And off they went. I didn't think anything more about it until 3 weeks later, when I got a text message from my friend saying, I'm pregnant. And I was not ready to be pregnant until that meeting 3 weeks ago, when you told me you'd seen a picture of children. So when I found that I was pregnant, I know this is God's plan. A great moment for me. It's like, well, thank heavens I stepped out in boldness. But actually the story hasn't even ended there. They now have two children, two little boys. Both of them have learning difficulties of various degrees of severity. They're now in America, and I regularly get messages from Jesse referring back to that picture that I gave them in prayer and saying, if it hadn't been for that, we wouldn't have been able to get through the struggles we have caring for these two children. So gifts of perception, often the most common ways the Holy Spirit manifests in us, but they do take boldness, courage, and discernment, checking your spirit, and offering with perhaps a degree of caution. I feel as though this is what God is saying. Let me give it to you for you to consider yourself. Second P, the manifestation of power. Here, the Holy Spirit empowering people. And similarly, a visible breaking through of God's power. So a miraculous healing that confounds doctors, or an addiction or a trauma suddenly miraculously overcome. And we've all heard amazing stories of these kinds of breakthroughs of power. Some of us maybe even have experienced them. I think even more common, though, is this manifestation of faith, the power to endure, to remain faithful under conditions of pain or grief or persecution. And thirdly, proclamation. So where the presence of the Holy Spirit manifests within the power of speech, speaking in other tongues or a language you don't know or understand, or instinctively understanding something that someone is praying in a language that you don't understand. I knew a worship leader who once said that in the middle of an extended set of worship, he suddenly started singing a phrase he didn't know the meaning of. Ti amo, ti amo, ti amo. Turns out, he found out that night, there was someone in the congregation who was Italian, who had come that night saying to God, I'm done with you unless I hear from you tonight. And in the middle of the worship set, the worship leader started singing, I love you, I love you, I love you, in Italian. Didn't speak Italian. It's the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And also in there, of course, we have prophetic utterances. Speaking about the will of God for a particular community, a church, or an individual with a spiritual authority, a thus saith the Lord moment. What all of these gifts, these manifestations have in common is, as we see in the life of Stephen, they manifest in a believer's life when a believer pursues intimacy with God. Stephen and the other six who were chosen as administrators were told were full of the Spirit. They spent time with God. Stephen indeed has one of the longest sermons printed in the New Testament. It's full of evidence that he knows his God and he knows Scripture. The Holy Spirit can manifest powerfully in any believer's life, but we do have to want his presence and his gifts. I said before, God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of individuals. The Holy Spirit will not force his presence or these manifestation gifts on anyone. There's a lovely moment recorded in Pete Gregg's book, Red Moon Rising. You'll know that as well as being a big fan of Alpha, I'm also a very big fan of 24/7 prayer. And Pete Gregg talks about an early gathering of the 24/7 prayer movement where they were meant to have an evening session in a club, and it was full to capacity. And they couldn't fit everyone in. And 200 or 300 people ended up being stuck in the car park outside the venue. And they ended up having a spontaneous and incredibly powerful worship and prayer service at which a number of very significant ministries were birthed. And Pete Gregg says, in that moment, they discovered something. We think we're inviting the Holy Spirit to our meetings. In reality, the Holy Spirit is inviting us to his meetings. It's up to us whether we participate. The Holy Spirit is only waiting for us to say yes. What these gifts also have in common is that they are all focused on the needs of others. So it reminds us again, 1 Corinthians 12, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And if we were to read forward into 1 Corinthians 13, remembering, of course, that originally there were no chapter divides in Scripture, we reach one of the best-known passages in the Bible because it's read in a lot of weddings. That passage in 1 Corinthians 13 that reminds us that we can manifest all kinds of spiritual gifts, but they are meaningless if we fail to act in love. Love is the most important gift. And I think this is quite a common weakness. It's put a lot of Christians off charismatic services and these sort of manifestational gifts in a public setting. In their enthusiasm, people have often acted in ways that are unloving. Forced, enthusiastic prayers, Bible verses, prophetic utterances where they're not wanted, or without taking that time to check carefully if we're really confident that it's God who's speaking. Just as the Holy Spirit will not force himself on us, so we shouldn't force our agenda on others in manifesting these gifts. But there are real dangers in closing ourselves off to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is essential to the work of the church and to the lives of every believer, as we said at the beginning. If we try and build the church without the Holy Spirit, we lack that transformative power of God that we read about in Acts. Worse, we risk making the church in our own image. The Holy Spirit is continually calling the church out to higher things. But if we stop listening, we get content with the status quo. We start to accept the norms, and we find that we are fighting to keep things the same rather than acting as agents of change. The most dangerous prayer a Christian can pray is, "Come, Holy Spirit." Because by praying that, we declare ourselves ready to surrender our agenda to God and give up our control. It's also the most essential prayer that the church can pray, and that's true in our own lives as well. We were created for dynamic relationship with God through his Holy Spirit. But we all lose momentum at times. We need to be periodically refreshed and revitalized in our connection to the Holy Spirit to step back into that place of intimacy so that he can encourage us, empower us, and start to manifest in our lives again. I think there are three signs that we're running on empty and we need refreshing in the Spirit. And I think this is true for churches as well as individuals. Firstly, getting stale and dry. That sense that our connection to God seems weak, seems unsatisfying. We don't have a sense of intentionality or enthusiasm anymore. We're just going through the motions. Secondly, running out of energy and vision. When we get tired all the time, lacking energy, and everything seems to just take too long and too much energy, and no forward momentum, no sense of vision of something that we're running towards. And within that, I would say as well, no desire for the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, accepting the norms, accepting the everyday, lacking desire to see change, to tackle injustice, or to work through things. In those times of dryness, of tiredness, of acceptance, what is essential is that we return to God in worship and prayer, that we seek a renewal of intimacy, that we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," and ask him to manifest in our lives again. This series is all about counting me in, getting involved, and serving. But in order to do that well, we have to be filled with the Spirit, like the first believers. Just piling activity on activity on activity is not going to build the church. But spending time with God, responding to the Holy Spirit, is what's going to transform our lives and this community. The Holy Spirit is only waiting for us to ask. So this morning, the worship band and I have decided we're going to create some space for reflection, for reconnection, and for intimacy. There's ministry available for anyone who says, "You know, actually, I do recognize these signs in me that I am running on empty. I need a fresh vision. I need renewed energy. I'm tired all the time. I don't have optimism. I don't have drive." Or just if you want a supportive prayer, a fresh touch from God, we've got prayer teams at the back of the church as usual. I'm going to ask the band up. We're going to pray and we're going to take a moment of silence just to reflect and respond, and then we'll go into a time of worship and response. So let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, you have equipped us in the church with so much. So many gifts, so many talents, so many extraordinary people. Thank you that you've called us to higher things. You've placed the church in the world to be a force for change in our communities, in our societies, in our nation, in our world. Yet, Father, we know that we cannot do it without you. It has to be from you and through you, and it has to be toward you. Thank you that you have offered us more. You have offered us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of your presence with us, to equip us in the world, to be a force for change, to confirm our proclamation of your gospel, to empower us and fill us with your glory. This morning, Lord, we want to take time to give you the space. This church is yours. Our hearts are yours. We are yours. We want to reconnect with you and say again, Lord, do what you want in this place. Do what you want in us. Father, we give you every time that we've turned away from you. And when we've had a prompting, a sense that we ought to pray for someone or act in a certain way and we haven't followed through. Father, we give you our tiredness. We give you our weariness. We give you our lack of vision. This morning, Lord, we ask for change. We make space for your agenda. We wait on you. We listen for you, and we pray, come, Holy Spirit.